And so we were discussing with my cousin, my female cousin, about the relationship of my grandparents, because my grandfather was a bad person to my grandmother. They were working together. They had a restaurant, a cafe bistro, and my grandfather was the boss of it. And he never, like, I don't know how to say that in English, but like, never declared her, like she was working inside this restaurant. So she never earned any money herself from the job. But she was there every fucking day from 6 a.m. to 9 p.m. And she was still raising three children. And so when my mom was 2 years old, he fell sick with TB. And so he had to stay in quarantine. And the children were sent to a nanny in another province. And my grandmother, once he was healed, told my grandfather, let's go pick up the kids. And my grandfather said no. So there for 3 years, she didn't see my mom. And she suffered a lot from that. Then she tried to like forget about it and like make the best of the time they were together. Like, they worked really hard so they could buy the restaurant, and then she took the kids back. But then she tried, I think she tried several times to leave, but at that time in France, like being a single mother with children, with no job, no education, and no money, it was not a possibility. And so now they don't like each other. They are really mean to each other. And my cousin was complaining about that. Like, yeah, she speaks very badly to him. And I was like, yeah, come on. It was not good to her. And then my grandmother revealed that my grandfather had an affair for 12 years with another employee from the restaurant. That he bought a lot of stuff to her, like a car, an apartment. And my grandfather is a very cheap person. Like, his money is for himself. Mm-hmm. Even my grandmother revealed that he wanted to buy, he bought a car, an apartment to this woman. For 12 years, he had another life going. And I told her, why did you stay? And she said, I said for my kids and for my grandkids, because I didn't want them to think their grandfather and their father was a bad person.
I've been thinking about mothers, motherhood, and everything that comes with that recently. And I noticed something interesting. Mothers from our parents' generation can't catch a break. When things got sour in their marriages, society judged them harshly if they abandoned their marital homes. While their daughters grew up, got woke, and judged them even more harshly if they stayed. Imagine a mother in her 50s who endured all kinds of pain and made what she believed to be the best decision for herself and her children at the time, only for said children to grow up and talk shit about her sacrifice. No child left behind. The pain. I personally am more sympathetic to our mothers. They deserve all the respect and accolades. I believe that regardless of our current feelings about women and their experiences in toxic marriages, we shouldn't be so hard on mothers who stay for the kids. There are other forces at work that cannot be explained with mere reason and logic. And I'm going to unpack that over the course of this episode with input from my friend Elsa, a millennial mother based in France, who has the best seat in the house when it comes to this issue. I think there's a lot we don't understand when we talk about these things. There's a tendency to be too close to the elephant that we fail to see the other layers involved. So listen closely. Listen with a friend. Listen with your mothers. And let's see if we can put ourselves in their shoes for a moment. My name is Rodney Amokachi, and you're welcome to The Young God.
And those clouds only come out when it rains. So don't get too comfortable. Just stand there and take it, even if you gotta fake it. They told me to stay for the kids, so I did. They say love's only meant for the happy ones. So why do I feel like this? Don't call it quits. Stay for the kids.
2 weeks ago, I hosted an IG Live with three women whom I affectionately refer to as gorgeous, gorgeous goddesses to promote our epic two-part episode the other day. And on that fateful evening, I said something that I had no idea would trigger them. To be fair, I should have known. Considering how young women feel about the injustices, both real and perceived, against women in the past, present, and future. We were talking about bad marriages and parents staying together for the kids. And in a moment of vulnerability, I said something I have maybe never said out loud before.
If I'm being totally honest, my parents had a trash marriage. Trash. But I am so grateful. I wish my mom, I'm grateful that they stayed together for whatever reason. I'm grateful they stayed together because I'm better for it.
The women, both in the comments and in the actual live with me, misinterpreted my gratitude as somehow encouraging my mother and all other mothers in bad marriages to endure suffering, no matter what.
And the funny thing is that, first of all, you said you're thanking your mom. You're thanking your mom for what?
For what exactly?
But this attitude of men appreciating their mothers because they stayed in a trash marriage is a trash attitude to have.
Yeah, makes no sense. Now, let me say he's okay with it. I wonder what the sisters, if their sisters in that scene, they're probably seeing this as, my mom stayed for this. What, am I better than my mom?
Guys, you're misunderstanding. This is a very personal thing I'm explaining to you guys. I'm not saying that everyone feels the same way. I'm not saying you guys feel the same way. But I'm telling you as someone who has thought this through to the nth degree. Like, it's not just, of course, I've considered how my dad would feel, my mom would feel. Of course, all those things matter.
I spent the next 30 minutes trying to explain to three incensed women that my statement was alluding to something noble. That just as there is a case to be made for leaving, there is a case to be made for staying. And it is not up to women who have never been mothers to determine what a mother should do for her kids.
Well, it's also very easy to say, oh, I would have done differently.
You don't know that?
You don't know that. And you cannot compare in any case, because what happens today is so different than what happened like 20 years ago or 40 years ago. So you would never be in the same situation, even though you're in the same kind of relationship that may be toxic or whatever. I don't know what your mother went through, but I imagine that the kind of situation she went through, other couples today are going through the same thing. Mm-hmm. But it's not, you cannot compare it anyway, because it's not the same location, not the same time, not the same cultural surroundings and law also, because in some countries you cannot get a divorce. If you get a divorce, you just lose your children, so you cannot make that decision. And then I understand a mom who would stay rather than go and be free, because she doesn't want to lose the custody. So it's always very easy to say, oh, I would have done different.
I find it fascinating how easily women who haven't been in committed, long-term relationships or had any children speak so confidently about what mothers should do or should have done in conditions they can only imagine. And I always try to help them understand that it's more complicated than just leave. Being a mother is such that you can't just say, fuck them kids. There's this fantastic movie I saw years ago starring Jennifer Lopez and Kiki Palmer. It's called Hustlers. A fantastic movie about the lengths women would go to provide for their children. And in one of the heaviest scenes for me, J-Lo's character said something that perfectly captures motherhood. She said, motherhood is a mental illness. Motherhood is a mental illness. The statement is provocative yet accurate. She says it twice in the movie, and it speaks to the fact that a mother would do the most incredible things to keep and protect her children. What most young woke feminists don't ever consider is the fact that once you become a mother, you have no control, absolutely none, over how desperately and fully and all-consumingly you love your children. It is a love so big and so fiery that you can't quite put a cap on it. It gurgles up from inside in the most unexpected ways. It is this love that gives a mother strength to endure all kinds of things in life. Bad marriages are just one example. In fact, of all the things a mother could possibly endure for her children, a bad marriage is not even top of the list. There are worse things, if you can imagine it. This is not to say that a mother should blindly follow her maternal instincts when it's to her detriment. I'm just pointing out that these choices are much harder for a mother to make. And though they may not always make the right decision, they have to make a decision. In the case of our mothers, there were obvious financial and societal limitations that made it difficult for them to live with the children. I can't imagine what it must have been like for them having to choose between their children and themselves. Talk about the devil versus the deep blue sea. Talk about a rock and a hard place.
And my cousin was, she was so tough on her. I was like, you cannot compare what you would have done with what she had to do. Mm-hmm. Because it's not the same generation. It's not the same job. It's not the same situation. It's not the same society we live in. Now we respect women who get divorced, so it's fine there. This is not an issue, at least in France, mm-hmm. not in every country in the world. But as he never paid her, it's like she could not go anywhere. So she would have just lost the custody of our children. So she had to stay.
During the IG Live, one of the women made the argument that a mother should give her life and not herself for her kids. Such a woke feminist thing to say. Sounds profound, doesn't it? My response to that is, by virtue of the very nature of motherhood, her children are very much part and parcel of herself. Mothers often describe having a child as similar to having your heart outside of your body. Now that's profound. A mother simply cannot function adequately in other aspects of her life if her children are not close by, within reach, and safe. It's a connection so pure that you cannot counter it with feminist rhetoric. And that's the thing. Being woke these days means intellectualizing everything, but there are some things that are above intellectualization. Too often, the conversations we have are too mind-centered and not enough from the heart. The mind can make problems where there are none and justify anything. So when you use the mind as the sole means of measuring human behavior, particularly in mothers, you miss the point entirely. But when it's heart-based, it's a different, more dynamic, more nuanced interaction and proliferation of ideas. It's just a better time. Intellectualizing everything instead of deploying empathy and compassion at crucial moments is one of the pitfalls of woke culture in general. I just never expected our mothers, of all people, to be victims of it.
If a woman is in a marriage that is not good for her mental health,
we applaud her.
Just leave it.
Mm-hmm.
Simple. Forget that. If my mother is not happy, I'm not happy.
Feminists often focus on the emotional toll on the woman, the mother who stayed. But what about the emotional toll on children who are separated from one of their parents? You can't have a proper conversation about this issue without considering the children and the lifelong grief they experience as a result of losing a parent without an explanation. Abandonment issues. Noun. An unhealthy fear that the people, places, and things you've grown attached to will eventually leave or reject you. Separation anxiety. Noun. A disorder in which a child becomes excessively anxious when separated from parents. It's well documented that children develop emotional problems that haunt them well into adulthood as a result of divorce or separation. I have had friends and cousins open up to me about their still unfolding struggles with the long ago separation of their parents. I have asked adult children of divorce about their experiences, and the avalanche of pain they described was a complete shock to me, the child of an intact marriage. I learned that not only does the pain of divorce continue into adulthood, but the suffering is not lessened even if the child experienced a good divorce. A lot of them were not from abusive homes, nor did they get dragged through an ugly divorce. They even lived under custody arrangements that kept them in contact with both their mother and father throughout childhood, and yet the pain was the same. I'll never forget one lady who said something along the lines of, her parents' selfish decisions denied her a normal childhood and the chances of enjoying life as an adult. She believed that it would have been much better for her parents to stay together and keep their issues hidden from her, an only child, than to separate and put her through what she called emotional hell. One of the ladies on the IG Live argued that it is possible to raise a child well as a single mother these days.
A single mother who is wealthy and can raise her children well and give them a good environment to live in is much better than a mother who is suffering in a marriage.
Well, yeah, if by well you mean providing their physical needs and whatnot. But the emotional trauma will always be there. A broken home is a broken home, and children are very sensitive to that. This is why I'm so grateful that my mother stayed. After learning about all these things in school, in books, in movies, and living vicariously through others in conversation, after hearing about stories of abandonment from friends and family, after gaining an understanding of all the ways that divorce and separation can limit a person's ability to enjoy life in the future, and then my mother opens up to me much later as an adult about the realities of her marriage to my father, it suddenly occurred to me that while it would have made utmost sense to leave, she chose to stay. And because she stayed, I don't have any of that trauma. I am better for it.
He's done miracles on me. 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 He's done miracles on me.
When I think about it, as a child, it didn't matter to me whether my parents were going through problems in their marriage, as long as they were both present. That did wonders for my mental health, which is damn near bulletproof today, because I didn't have to deal with those dark feelings growing up. So when I say I am grateful she stayed, it comes from a deep understanding of the circumstances, the pain she endured, the sacrifices she made, and how those sacrifices made me the man I am today. A man whom I like very, very much. You cannot put a price on that, especially in this day and age where every Tom, Dick, and Harry has emotional problems. And you know what? My mother may not have even stayed because of me and my siblings, per se. During their time, the emotional effects of separation on children were not even considered in that society. This is new information today, which means she stayed simply because, as miserable as she was with her husband, she would be 10 times more miserable without her children. That is motherhood.
Let's take a moment to pause and breathe. Relieve the tension. Whatever you're doing, close your eyes, take a deep breath in through the nose, out through the mouth. One more time. In through the nose, out through the mouth. Let's resume.
Being a mother, for me, is the best thing that happened to me. I feel I'm full, you know? Like, I can die tomorrow. It's my life had the purpose it has to had. But it's it's fucking hard. It's fucking hard. And you are with guilt, with, did I make the good choice for my kid? You are afraid all the time. Is he sick? Will he get sicker? You know, like you are always a bit stressful about how the world is turning. Like when I see the war in Ukraine, I'm very sad for what's happening in Ukraine. I'm also very sad for what world my son is going to live in. And when I see the report on the climate change, I'm like, fuck, what kind of world did we leave to our children? And I'm scared. I was not scared before. It was like, yeah, well, shit happens, you know? But now that my kid is on this planet, I was like, no, I want this planet to be so perfect and so peaceful. And you are always dealing with responsibilities, and you cannot do anything without considering how it's going to impact your child. Never again.
Which is more important, the mental health of the mother or the mental health of the child? This is a no-brainer. It's the child for me. The greatest form of activism is raising decent children, who then become decent adults. I think, more than anything, that is the call of motherhood. It's not simply about birthing a child. You're directly responsible for making decisions that give your child the best chance of reaching his or her full potential, even at your own expense. This is what we celebrate Mother's Day for. Now, if, as a woman, you don't agree with this, or you're not accepting of the sacrifices that come with motherhood, maybe don't become a mother. Because there is such a thing as a bad mother, and they are not rare. They are direct consequences of that sort of attitude. I mean, why have a child if you don't agree with the rules? You're just setting yourself and the child up for failure. Maybe a lot of women these days have a hard time with motherhood because they are already at odds with the idea of sacrifice in the first place. Perhaps they are so taken by the more glamorous aspects of motherhood that by the time they realize what it will require of them, they get depressed and break down. Hence, postpartum depression. I think the best thing a woman can do before she has a baby is prepare herself mentally, accept and maybe even welcome the challenge. Embrace all that comes with it so that you can give both yourself and your child the best chance of growing up emotionally and mentally sound. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 18:6, "If anyone causes one of these little ones to stumble, it will be better for them to have a large millstone hung around their neck and to be drowned in the depths of the sea." It will be better for them to have a large millstone hung around their neck and to be drowned in the depths of the sea. Such imagery. And this is telling because Jesus is generally a peaceful guy, but he's ready for violence when it comes to children. So, I mean, it's a no-brainer again. Children first, always.
You are not prepared about the drop of hormones that make you sometimes regret having a child, or makes you feel so desperate, so sad, so tired, so clueless. You have to learn things, you have to get confident, because those little things are so fragile, so it's hard to criticize mothers.
With all of that said, I get why women might feel differently. It's no secret that history hasn't been kind to women, especially mothers. And that knowledge has created young women who are heavy on female empowerment at all costs, by any means, like burn the entire world down and fuck everything. So the idea of staying for the kids and sacrificing oneself for them sounds like the least empowering, least feminist thing. They want to avoid going through what their mothers did so bad, and I get it. I just worry that in trying desperately to avoid one injustice, they might inadvertently commit another.
Even though my mom was a very, like the best mom you could ever dream of, and she made sacrifices, and I knew that, but I didn't know until I was a mother the real power of this sacrifice.
They told me to stay for the kids, so I did. They say love's only meant for the happy ones, so why do I feel like this? Don't call it quits.
One very important thing that informs my point of view, though, is the fact that I am a son. A first son at that. The relationship mothers have with their sons is different, particularly their first. Our mothers tell us everything, so we naturally empathize with them and are not as quick to judge. I also understand that motherhood occurs outside the realm of feminism and wokeness. It's one of those things in life that has its own rules and reasons. Once you're a mom, you're never again not a mom. Being a mom is a thing that your entire intellectual and emotional universe will forever revolve around. Every choice you make, good or bad, will forever be informed by and is damn near inseparable from the fact of your motherhood. One thing is for sure, Sha. Motherhood will find most of these feminists eventually, and they will understand. Not necessarily because they will find themselves in the same situations as their mothers, but there's something about carrying a child for 9 months and then holding it in your arms that makes everything make sense. Generations and generations of motherhood instincts and hormones will wash over them in that moment, and they will understand how their mothers felt when they did what they did. In the meantime, the undeniable truth, as I see it, is when it comes down to it, there are no wrong answers whether a mother chooses to leave or stay. Only consequences for each action. Feminists need to stop shitting on mothers who pick their struggle, who try to make the most of a bad situation. It's all anyone can do at that point. It's quite telling the lack of empathy women have for other women sometimes.
We need to stick together, and we need to respect any woman choices to do whatever she wants. But I think that we also need to make our kids understand that their moms are fucking warriors.
And mothers don't talk about it enough, also. Maybe because they can't put it into words like you did.
Also because you are never asked about it. Like maybe you are a podcast interviewer, so this is a subject that comes to your mind, but
yeah.
I think that mothers do not have many occasions to speak about that. And thank you for asking me that question, because it's not every day that you are able to talk about it, especially with a non-mother.
As long as the marriage isn't abusive or violent, as long as there is a way to coexist, staying for the kids is noble as fuck. And I want every mother who has ever made that decision to know this.
So my grandmother is 81 years old, and because she told me, that's so powerful, she told me, I'm telling you now, because if I die first, I want someone to tell the truth at the funeral. Wow, because you sacrifice yourself just to protect your kids from having a bad father reference, you know, like father image. And she said, now I'm telling it now because I want the truth to come out.
Happy Mother's Day to the ones who stayed. This is The Young God.